Now, it will be very odd, but I did think of rats while I was studying James this week. Not rats on the street, not West Coast and East Coast, but rats in psychology studies. James gives much psychology and much wisdom in human emotions and relationships, and on our inside. I remember a long time ago having a psychology class at the Methodist College. Dr. Darling was a believer, even believed in the inerrancy of the Bible. I expected lots of Bible verses, but very few Bible verses. And both in the textbook and in the lectures, here and there, we did the study of rat behavior. I could not figure out at the time what good any of that was. More recently, Nathan has a degree in psychology from Texas Tech, and he, in those years, called and he said, well, this stuff isn't all that good. And I said, studying rats again, huh? Psychology in the Bible, far more advanced. Anything good in secular psychology was already in the Bible in the first place. Could have gone there first and had the same thing, if it is a true point. And the Bible is way ahead. One interesting thing about James is it's short. It has deep psychology in the sense of a lot of answers, but not deep in the sense that it's mysterious. When you think about it, it's just common sense. The common sense is what people say comes from what they think about in their hearts, and if they're jealous and ambitious, they're going to say all kinds of bad things. It's kind of common sense. It's not all that deep, yet it is true. And if we look at it and just say, well, that is the way people behave. I mean, it is self-assurance. When you just look at what James say, that whatever is in their heart is what they say. And the type of people that can be the meanest and say all kinds of verbal sins are selfishly ambitious people and jealous. James is talking about communication, but it overlaps quickly with motivation. What is in a person's heart that motivates them to act? And overlapping with that is leadership. So they're kind of all related topics. He's talking about the mouth and speech and communication, but it does go down to life's philosophy in the heart, and particularly the motivation of all that ambition. We already read the close of James 3, but I felt like I could not cover it all last time. We were in a hurry last time to link communication with motivation, to link what we say with what we think. So we were in a hurry not to say everything the Bible says about the tongue, but to get to the last paragraph of chapter 3 where the tongue is related to what's inside. So let's go ahead and read it again, the final part of James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. And lie would be sins of the tongue, would it not? This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, even more stunning, demonic. Because, therefore, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. Now, more positive, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That relates to what you say. Want to have a fight? Say one thing. Want to make peace with other people? Say another thing. The topic of speech or communication has been in James for a long time. Again, James 1:19. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Also, the topic of the Bible has been in James' mind for a long time. He talked just before that command about the word of truth that caused us to be born again. And right after, he says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. And then quite a few verses, we're still going to have them in chapter 4, quite a few verses on the law, or the law that sets us free, the law of liberty. So again, to apply it specifically, be quick to hear the Bible, slow to be an expert on what God says. I mean, you can do it, but check it out first. Slow to give an answer. Look into the pages of Scripture first. Slow to wrath would be don't get mad at what you read in the Bible, or don't get mad at someone who teaches the Bible and it's actually true. And we have to look in the mirror and say, that needs to be fixed. So I would tie the topics together. I would tie the Word of God with quick to hear it, so to speak it, slow to get mad. Even James 2, which seems to be about income levels, is about communication. Have fair communication with those with high income and those with low income. So chapter 3 continued, and it's not like it's starting over again. It's continuing about the tongue, and no one can tame it alone. I wouldn't say it can't ever become tamed. It can become less wild than it would be without God, but with God's help, and he's talking about wisdom from above, with God's help, it can be somewhat tamed. But if we leave God out of life, as some of the verses we just read, it's going to be a wild tongue. It's going to be untamed. Jesus had already said, James' older half-brother, he'd already said, Matthew 12:34, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Or King James, out of the abundance of the heart, man speaks. What's on the inside, a philosophy of life, comes out. Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Or again, we are what we think. And what we think, we say. That's why you have a section on communication, but it'll go right back to what's inside a person. What are they thinking on the inside? What is their goal in life? Here James concludes that speech, human psychology, comes from your philosophy of life, and that's either the philosophy of life of the world, even the devil, or the philosophy of life from the word of truth, which has had much communication here in the first part of James. So a person's speech habits reflects what's in their mind and their philosophy of life, and that reflects what they think of the Bible. I say philosophy of life because the Greek word for wisdom is Sophia. And some people's philosophy of life is from above. The wisdom from above, the love of wisdom from above would be the philosophy from above. And the love of wisdom from below, or the world, or the devil, would be love of philosophy from below. True, no one alone can tame the tongue, but God, through indwelling us in the Holy Spirit, gives power over sin. We can do better than a wild, totally untamed tongue. But no one whose philosophy of life does not want any of God's help from above is going to be able to tame their tongue. What's on the inside, particularly a rejection of the Bible and a rejection of God's wisdom, that will come out in what they say. Now, I do sort of wonder that people have no ambition at all. They might need a little bit of a different counseling. I would think about the Bible's topic of hope. There are people with no ambition at all. They've given up. I think it's common. I think I kind of feel a little sorry for them. What are you living for? Well, a six-pack and the next football game on TV. Well, there really ought to be a little more. It'd be a little bit more like living to follow God's plan in life, living to seek God, living to learn more about Him, living to grow in virtue and do some of God's work and obey what He says, that'd be better. Sometimes people don't have any ambition. They've lost their ambition. But this is talking about a person who still has it, but it's selfish. They have drive. But it's not from above. It's selfish drive. It's jealous drive. It's the philosophy from below, either the world or demonic. And James actually adds both in here. One's philosophy of life determines what we say and also how we treat other people. Wisdom from above comes out of the Bible. And the people who follow the philosophy of life given in the Bible, that's ambition, but not selfish ambition. The ambition is to do God's work and glorify God and to grow in character and grow in knowledge, and there's a good kind of ambition. So be quick to hear the Bible, be slow to be an expert on it, be slow to get mad when somebody else says that's what it says, or when we read the book and we don't agree with it, but we better kind of fix ourselves in the mirror. With that philosophy of life, we will treat other people better and we'll be more tamed tongue. The philosophy of life from above leads to a tame tongue. The philosophy of a life from below, and let us say, indifference to the Bible, thinking it's a waste of time, or rebelling against the Bible, that philosophy of life leads to a wild tongue, especially in those who are ambitious for a selfish reason. And again, some people have lost their ambition and they need different types of counseling. They need studies of how to have hope and how to have joy, and they need that direction. But some unsaved people are very ambitious, but it's not to do God's work. It's not to seek God. They're very ambitious out of what he says is jealousy. Two different ways of life. James is a very short book, and in some ways that's better. Five little chapters in a letter, got all kinds of topics in it. Now that might be a little bit better than a 500-page book on communication, because it's all short and all run together. And while communication is the main topic, also closely related to it is philosophy of life, and let me use the word motivation, incentive. How to keep on keeping on? What keeps us going? Well, I've said this to the kids, and so I was talking about asking Nathan about if he's studying rats. It made me think about the kids. Long time ago, I told him about three main motivations. Greed, pride, or the glory of God. Now, some people have no ambition. They've just lost it. They need studies on hope. But those that do have ambition, saved or unsaved, it will be either greed, pride, or the glory of God. Pride has lots of subtopics. So I suppose jealousy is part of that, and that's part of greed, want to be ahead, pride, better than everybody else. So some people do just quit. Other people that do not quit, they spend a lot of years seeking goals, but selfishly, selfish ambition. And it leads to disorder and every evil thing, especially in mind, is what they say. Okay, if they try to have lifelong goals, and they do like the book of Ecclesiastes, and the number one thing is the buildings. Buildings. Build a building. Well, if not for the glory of God, it will disappoint at some point. Let's have livestock, like Solomon, every kind of critter, have a big zoo. Well, okay, if it's for the glory of God, if that's the reason to live, then it'll be like Solomon. Let's try comedy and music and shows, okay, underneath the glory of God. But if it's without God, well, there's only so much a joke or so much a comedy or so much a music or there's only so much it will do. So I told the kids, pride, greed, or the glory of God, James just basically has two because he wants to stress there are only two ways of life. So if we could make a list of things that cause ambition and motivate evil people, a make long list, but it comes down to, are they living from the wisdom above or are they living from the wisdom below? So James just has two. He does put all these topics in here, though. Obviously, prideful ambition is right here. When we get to chapter 4, especially chapter 5, it will talk about greed. We get to chapter 4, verse 2, which I'll probably have time to read here. We get to chapter 5, verse 2. It'll talk about rotten garments because of moths, and silver and gold have rusted. Well, that's James talking like his older half-brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. So greed, pride, or the glory of God, if God is not in it at all, people keep going, but do keep going, do it for greed or pride. And in pride, we could add jealousy and hatred, and it really keeps them going very, very well, but it leads to disorder in every evil thing. Goodness, I think we probably do know people like this that don't care about God's word and don't care to listen to it, but they're very, very ambitious, and their ambition ends up being what we read about here. Selfishness and jealousy and leads to all kinds of things. Glad for Kip's prayer request because I have a page or two on the good kind of ambition. I do not like it when people kind of criticize young people for being ambitious. I think they should be ambitious. They should be kind of guided in that ambition is for the glory of God. One thing I don't like about the way the world teaches young people is you can do anything that you want to do. It doesn't work that way. Anybody with any age knows it doesn't work that way. Better is to say you can do anything God plans for you to do. And God has a great plan for you. So I do believe in them being ambitious, but not without God. Not as we see here. Selfish ambition. So it's not quite true, I shall say they, not being in that category, but it's not quite true that they can do anything they want to do. It doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, I think that will be hard on them eventually when they discover the truth. But it is true they can do anything God plans for them to do. So therefore, with that goal, ambition is good. When Paul talks about people who are younger and might want to be elders and church leaders, it says they desire a good work. So that's good. Just so long as the motivation to keep going is the glory of God and doing his plan and not just greed or pride. Those with greed or pride, we get to verse 16. They have ambition, but it's selfish ambition. And verse 16, of course, is they will lead to disorder and every evil thing, especially in how they treat other people and what they say. We are what we think, and we say what we think. And there are two basic philosophies of life, from above, a doer of the word, from below and even Satan, they rebel against the Word. And people pick those philosophies of life for their ambition. Ambition is good if it's not selfish ambition. So I would tell all the kids, be ambitious, but be ambitious also to do God's plan. Be ambitious to do God's glory. Not just ambitious to do anything you want to do, or one step worse, this is what they really mean, you can do anything the world thinks is great. Well, I believe in great plans, but then great plans to God's glory, and giving it over to Him when things don't work out. I think there is a connection with that philosophy. You can do anything you want to do, and all of the depression and even suicide that we see. I don't think they should be told that you can do anything you want to do, or you can do anything the world wants you to do. I think it's sort of true, but it needs to be refined. You can do anything God's plans for you to do. You can do anything in God's great will for you. Then that's good. Great plans are good, actually. David wanted to build a temple. He could not. They didn't get depressed. 2 Chronicles 6:8, you did well that was in your heart. Or missionary line, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. I do believe in ambition, do believe in plans. I do believe with young people in preparation. But it is not selfish ambition like we read about here. It is the ambition to do God's will, whether it's in the Bible or it's an individual. Ambition to exalt God. Then that's a good ambition. Here, most of the stress is on leave God out, rebel against the Word of God, and then have ambition. And you can do anything you want to do, which isn't true to reality, let alone the Bible. Anybody who's lived a while is going to know that's not true. You can do anything you want to do. Well, good luck. And I think that overlaps with depression. This type of selfish ambition, you can do anything you want to do, overlaps with ambition, overlaps with depression, and so does jealousy. If we were to make a list of things that cause depression, jealousy would be near the top of the list. King Saul was one of the most serious cases of depression in the Bible. He even at the end fell on his sword and killed himself. And what was happening in King Saul's life? He was very, very jealous of David. His problem started in 1 Samuel 18 when he heard the women singing, Saul has slain his thousands and David has killed his tens of thousands. And right there in that 1 Samuel 18 text, it switched to depression. Had he been a little more content in life, he would have said, good thing that kid killed the giant. And he wouldn't have thought much of it. It was the jealousy on the inside that made him hate and made him depressed. James' topic is not so much depression. James' topic is what people say. So if they're jealous, they say a certain thing. But if they're really jealous for a long time, they're going to get depressed. So I think verse 16 explains a lot of A, what you see on the news, but explains B, a lot of depression and even suicidal thoughts. There should not be. But if we've left doing God's will out of life and seeking God and growing all the time, both in character and knowledge, and we've left that out, then those that are ambitious and don't quit, it's usually motivated by verse 16. It's usually motivated by pride. I'll be great, and I will say certain things about anybody that gets in the way. And greed is coming when I read the next two verses. Some people's motivation is greed, and they also will say anything to make money. So it's about communication, but it's also about what's in our heart. We are what we think. What we think, we say. And we either have a philosophy of life from wisdom from above or wisdom from below. And the outcome of the wisdom from below is jealousy and selfish ambition and running over anybody and say anything because they're in our way to a higher position or, and I read in a moment, greed. So John 3:16 should get the most attention, but James 3:16 kind of fits. It fits a lot of our world and explains the way they're going. Let us read on, just two more verses today in James 4, where we go from ambition to get a higher position to ambition to get a higher profit. And that will be quite prominent in chapters 4 and 5. We're only going to read verses 1 and 2. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You desire, it's not so much always sexual here, it's money. You desire and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You have not because you ask not. You don't do God's will or don't pray. And they fight all the time, sometimes for a higher position, sometimes for more money. Again, is envy one of the deadly sins? Well, not in the sense that a person loses his or her salvation. If we say envy is a deadly sin and that it's unpardonable, that's not true. That's not true theology. One can be forgiven anything, and it's not deadly in the sense of loss of salvation. But it is deadly in the sense that it can ruin one's life. And envy can lead from one sin to the next. There's Cain, and he was jealous about Abel. Abel got approval, and I did not. So what happens? He kills him. That's kind of an example of what you have here at the first part of chapter 4. His jealousy and his envy killed his brother. As we say, full of deadly poison. So it's jealousy and envy are deadly in the sense of they grow. They lead to worse things. And they certainly can ruin this life. A believer is saved, and no sin is unforgivable, but certain sins can ruin one's life and kind of poison it, and envy is one of them. Again, I think it is true, I'd like to spend a couple months, there's no time or strength to do it, but studying jealousy and envy in the Bible. But again, jealousy seems to be you want what another person has, but envy seems to be you want it so bad you'll take it away from them. You'll destroy their life. That concerns both types of pride, whether it's ambition, a higher position, or whether it's money. Now, James' far extreme is murder, and he is talking about religious people doing murder. Now, I don't think that's too common nowadays, but if we go back into church history, that's a lot like European history in the Reformation. Oh, yeah. You have these high positions, and someone comes along like Martin Luther and says, the Bible really teaches we're saved by faith. Well, I'm mad about that, and I think I'll kill people like that. A big long list. I mean, your goose is cooked, your huss is cooked, they burned him. Wycliffe and so forth, they burned him. Cranmer, they burned him. Burned him alive. So religious, positional jealousy can lead to murder. We hopefully not too much in our world, but it can lead to murder. And he's also got religious leaders that are over into business. So I can't think of any examples, but if you think of business people that will murder another person's reputation, or literally murder another person, then that's kind of what's here in James. Selfish ambition and jealousy and greed lead to all kinds of disorder and every evil work. Ambition is good, and I'd say that again to the kids. If it's for the glory of God, be as ambitious as you want to be. But ambition that's selfish is what the problem here. This part of James is very good psychology and short. And you could say it's deep, but not really. It's just common sense if you think about it. I like apologetics, which give facts that show that the Bible is reliable. But the psychological part of the Bible is just common sense reliable. You look at this and you say, isn't this how people behave? You'd say, yep. I mean, it doesn't need archaeology and fulfill messianic prophecy. Isn't this how people behave? What's on their inside they talk about? What they think is what they say. And if they think about seeking God and growing and have a good kind of ambition, then they will tame the tongue a little bit and grow. But if they don't care about the wisdom that's from above, don't care about that guidance, and they're very ambitious, then what are you going to have? Lots of sin of the mouth. And lots of evil and every disorder. Let's pray together, and then the choir can come.